What happens in the sky affects life down here on Earth. The Celestial Compass shows you how and guides your way with astrology you can use from professional astrologer Kathy Beal. Every episode features her light-hearted, practical forecasts and navigational tips, blended with humor, optimism, and a love of patterns, symbolism, and pop culture references. Kathy translates technicalities into concepts that apply to real life. You'll learn how the current moment ties to where we've been, from the recent past to cycles that last happened years ago, and get a look at where we're heading. And much more, from special topics to special guests. The Celestial Compass, enlightening, entertaining, and empowering. Here's your host, Kathy Beal.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is Kathy Beal of EmpowermentUnlimited.net, and we're starting the month of August with a guest that, in a kind of unusual, surprising, you wouldn't think it way, fits what's going on with the astrology of this month. So let's do a quick recap of what's happening. This is an extraordinarily important month. It is a turning point. And the weird thing about it is you may not see when something happens this month the importance that it's going to have for you down the line. We are in a lightning field of improbable probabilities, and they are going to crackle and change our thinking and inspire us to go about our worldly lives in radically different ways. And it's going to take throughout the month before I think we start to glimpse exactly what it means for each of us as individuals, and definitely on the collective level. There'll be another big measuring moment early in October, and then it may not be until April of next year that we sit back and go, oh, that's what this was about. It is a highly Uranian month. We start the month with Mars, the planet of action, meeting with Uranus and the north node of the moon, which I say is the sign saying this way to the future. It's a very strong, anything can happen energy. Honestly, I expected today to be a lot more volatile than it has turned out to be, and I've just probably cursed myself by saying that, and all my technology is going to go out as soon as I get off the show. But just know that it's the defining aspect of the month. We have things hitting it from many, many directions all month long, giving us many opportunities to break open our concepts of ourselves, our thoughts about what's possible in our lives, and most importantly, how we go about making things happen down here on planet Earth. There's a lot more about this in my forecast for the month of August, which is already up at my site, empowermentunlimited.net, and at OM Times. And with that, let's move on to what we're talking about today. One of my absolute favorite topics, which anybody who knows me personally already is aware of, and that is blowing bubbles. It can be a lot more than fun. It can actually change the way you look at life and change your life. And this is certainly what happened to our guest today, Jeff Akins, who has the incredibly unusual title of bubble magician. Yes, there is such a thing. There's actually an association of them as well. Jeff Akins has been entertaining, educating, and empowering children and adults alike worldwide for more than 30 years with his gentle spirit, sense of humor, and gift of rapport. Inspired by his life-altering experiences as a teacher in Waldorf and special education, he created the Bubble Wonders Show to convey the message that, anything is possible. He shows us how to rekindle a sense of wonder and demonstrates how persistence and a positive attitude can help make dreams come true. Welcome, Jeff.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. It's great to be here.
I'm just so thrilled. Now, you said in our, we had a conversation leading up to your deciding to come on the show, and mm-hmm. you told me that you had before all of this bubble business started, you had a quest of trying to figure out why you're here.
Exactly. One of the big ones, right? Life's biggest questions, that why am I here? What's my purpose? What am I meant to do this lifetime? And I cobbled together a meditation practice from things that I was learning at the Unity Church back in Illinois at the time, and things that I was reading out of a Wayne Dyer book called Manifest Your Destiny. So I was doing this morning and evening meditation with the sole focus of trying to figure out, why am I here? What's my purpose? And on a material level, they had just released the new Volkswagen Beetles back then. That was, 20, 30 years ago now. And so on a material level, I was also like putting out, and if I could have that car, that would be pretty sweet too. I'd fallen in love with this beautiful kind of golden green Volkswagen Beetle. And, well, do you want me to tell the story?
Please.
It's an amazing story.
Yes,
so
please.
So a year into this meditation, I receive a dream. Now, I've been dreaming and journaling my dreams and working with my dreams since I was a teenager. And in this dream, there was all I heard. It was two words long. It was a woman who said to me, "Remember Peapod." That was the whole dream. And I woke up excited and I wrote it down, and I knew it was significant because in all my years of working with my dreams, I had never been instructed by someone in a dream to remember. And so I knew this was something big, but I had no idea what it meant. Back where I was living in Illinois, there had been a new company that had just come out called Peapod, and what they did is you would call or go online and you would order your food and they would go and shop for you and bring it to your house. And I thought, oh, maybe that's my purpose. I'm supposed to work for Peapod. And I went so far as to follow up on my instinct, and I went on their website and looked. They did have job openings, and one of them I actually fit. I had just graduated. They needed a BA. They wanted somebody who had office experience. I had been working in an office for a family member for a while. I thought, okay, it doesn't sound like something that I'm, particularly interested in, but, I always know you follow, then the next step appears. And so I submitted an application for the job and never heard anything from them. But I was talking about this with my professor, and he said, well, just keep at it, like keep moving forward. And my then wife and I, Carrie, we came out of a movie theater one night, and I saw one of those beautiful Volkswagen Beetles, and I pointed it out to her, but it wasn't one of the standard colors. This one had been custom painted, this beautiful, like a pea green. And here, written on the side of this Volkswagen Beetle, my dream car, was the word Peapod. So now I literally am vibrating like, oh my, here is the word Peapod, which I'm supposed to remember, printed right on the car that I've been desiring. I had no idea what it meant, and then I realized there was somebody sitting in the car, so I must have looked like a complete fool, just gazing at this car. So I'm like, well, let's go. But I kept seeing the car, and I actually talked to the owner at one point when he pulled into this parking lot right next to me. It was all the doors were opening. He had no idea, of course, what the dream meant, and it turns out it wasn't so much about the company, but I kept following these little clues, the little synchronicities, and I was sharing all this with my professor, who was very much a counselor and spiritual guide for me, and somebody I could talk to about these experiences. And so I was telling him about my synchronicities, and he shared a synchronicity that he had just had where he wanted to share. He's a college professor in the humanities department. He was going to use a poem by Mary Oliver in one of his classes, and a colleague came in and said, oh, I just put that same poem in your mailbox because I'd love to use it in class too. And then he said, and then if that wasn't enough, driving home that night, I turned on the radio, and I hear a little newscast, and they talked about how my son's Waldorf school was going to use poetry by Mary Oliver in one of their presentations later in the week. So that was the first time I heard Waldorf education. I had no idea what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple nights later, I was reading Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh. That was on the second book, and I ended the chapter I was on. The next chapter was all about education. And at one point, Neil asked God, you know, who's doing education right? And I'm paraphrasing all this, but God said, look into the works of Rudolf Steiner and the Waldorf schools. And again, I get that tingles all throughout my body, like, here's that word again. And so I called my professor right away and said, tell me more about this Waldorf stuff. And his first words like, oh, you would be a wonderful Waldorf teacher. And he went on to explain that in a perfect situation, a Waldorf teacher would come on as the first grade teacher and then take that group of kids, that class, all the way up through eighth grade. He told me about how they didn't use books in Waldorf education. The teachers learned stories and told them. They told stories. So they weren't looking in a book. They were making eye contact and connecting with the students. The kids didn't use books. The kids made their own books. There was just pro arts and lots of music, and all the toys and things were all natural. You know, there were seashells and wood and stone and all these things. Already it felt like this is something I'd like to learn more about anyway, because it just sounded very interesting. And he gave me the name of his son's kindergarten teacher and said, she'd be a great resource. She can tell you more because there's a teacher training program right in Chicago. So I called her. She gave me some references and told me about how there was going to be a big kickoff event at this training program in Chicago. And then there's going to be a big summer intensive, and they even had scholarships available. So again, just acting on trust with a capital T, I applied and received a scholarship to go to this summer intensive, and decided right then and there after that experience that I wanted to learn more about Waldorf. So I called a teacher back, Naomi, and I said, hey, I took your advice. I signed up for that intensive. I won a scholarship, and I'm so excited. I'm gonna come during the summer and learn all about this stuff. And she said, oh, you know, they're doing the seniors at the high school my daughters go, they're going to be doing their final presentations, their senior presentations, on Friday. I'd love to invite you out so you can actually walk around in a Waldorf school and get a feel for it. I said, sure. So I met Naomi, this teacher, and the first thing she says is, well, let me show you. We have some time before the presentation starts. Let me show you my daughter's classroom. So we walk upstairs, and she opens the door, and I step into this classroom, the very first Waldorf classroom I've ever seen. And again, I get that tingle. My jaw drops. All along the wall near the top by the ceiling are countless watercolor paintings the students have made of peas in pea pods.
And there you are.
And there I am. Again, the chill comes back. We go to see the presentation. After the presentation, I'm still like floating through this whole thing. And she says, well, I want you to meet somebody. He's a Waldorf teacher at another Waldorf school, and he also will be your music teacher during the teacher training. So she introduced me to John, and I sat in on the music class. He was teaching these teachers that were in training at that time, and the vibe was just so good. The singing was beautiful. The way he taught was very clever and amusing and lighthearted, and I felt comfortable there. And afterward, he and Naomi and I sat down, and we started having a conversation, and he started asking me a bunch of questions, and I could feel that there was something not quite said yet, right? Like, something was going on between these two. I finally said, what's going on? You keep asking me about my arts background, if I've done any teaching, what's going on? And John looks at me and he said, you know, this is going to sound so strange coming out of left field, but something tells me that you should come and teach at the Waldorf school where I'm teaching right now. And I'm in shock. And I'm trying to do the mental math. Okay, so if I take a summer intensive and then the first year teacher training, and he goes, no, like this year. So like August. And I'm like, I wouldn't have had any training. I won't know anything about Waldorf. And he said, I know. That's why I said it must sound really strange, but something is telling me this is something that you could do. and you can take teacher training and teach at the same time. And he goes, don't even answer. Just go home and think about it. Maybe even come visit our school when you have a chance. Just see what you think. So I'm driving home just absolutely floored. I've just been offered a job teaching at Waldorf without knowing anything about Waldorf. But I'm following all these clues. You know, I'm looking at the signs. I'm moving forward. And so I did. I went and visited the school. And I was pretty early, so none of the kids were there yet. It was just John and I and a couple of the other teachers. And he said, well, just we got time. Go wander. Just take a look through the school. So I'm wandering down the hall, and I ended up at the end of the hall in this huge kindergarten room. And I was drawn to it because there was a huge papier-mâché tree in the middle of the room. And I went and I sat underneath this tree in the quiet of the room. Nobody was in there. And I found myself just naturally going back into that meditation that I'd been doing for a year. And I was just sitting there meditating when I heard something. I opened my eyes and I look over, and there's this little boy peeking through the door. As soon as he sees that my eyes are open, he comes walking over and he sits down in my lap and he leans back in my arms and looks up at me and says, "Hi, I'm Michael. Who are you?" I'm Jeff. I'm here visiting your school. We talked for a moment or two and he got up and left. And I just felt like, what a greeting, what a blessing, right? And so, kind of awestruck, I walked back down the hall and I meet up with John, and he was just going into the faculty room. The teachers, every morning, they would gather and they would do some poetry and singing together before they left to go and teach for the day.
And I'm going to put the pause button here now for our brief break, and we'll come back and we'll find out what all this has to do with bubbles.
Sounds good.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Want help with your own celestial compass? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, for Astro Insight forecasts for each week, month, and new and full moon. Want to explore the personal impact? Make a decision? Understand another person? It is possible. Click the Services tab to book a personal session with me. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time landing a job
and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We're talking to bubble magician Jeff Agins, who right before the break was explaining how a dream to remember Peapod led him to a Waldorf school classroom with paintings mm-hmm. of peas and pods. And you had gone into a classroom visiting this one school, and you had taken a little meditative break under a paper mache tree and a kid crawled into your lap. Then you and some teachers went into the break room, you were saying.
Yeah. Previously, Jeff's dream. The faculty members all gathered, and I just joined. You know, I held everybody's hand. They were standing in a circle, and they did this verse talking about how they're here to prepare the path for these young souls. And they sang together. Of course, I didn't know the words to the verse at that point. I didn't know the words to the song, but I could definitely feel the energy. I could definitely feel the love. And honestly, Kathy, my first thought was, why didn't I get to go to a school like this? And then the second thought that came was, well, the next best thing would be teaching at a place like this. And so they broke. Everybody went to their classrooms. John said, they're not ready for you quite yet. Why don't you just sit in my class? So I got to see a Waldorf teacher in action, and the class loved him. You could tell he was a beloved teacher. He was cracking jokes. He was doing all these cool things. Like, I learned from him that when you transition from one activity to another, it wasn't just, okay, now we're going to do this. There was no bells or alarms going off. It was, they might tell a poem, or they might do some hand clapping game, or some little rhyme, or things like that, to transition from one activity to the next. I just thought that was beautiful. I really enjoyed watching him in action, but I was kind of itching to see these kids that they wanted me to consider taking over. It turns out that their first grade teacher was leaving at the end of the year, and they needed somebody to take over for second grade. And then finally, I got the knock on the door. They called me out to the hall all in whispers, and they're like, okay, the kids are leaving their classroom to go do some handwork in another room. Just follow along beside them and just sit with them and just observe and let us know what you think afterward. I'm like, oh, okay. So all of a sudden, the door opens up, and these 12 adorable first graders come walking down the hall, and I follow right behind them. We go down into this other room, and there's a circle of chairs with the handwork teacher sitting at the top of the circle. So all the kids take a seat, and they all sit, and the teacher, I wish I could see this, but like if you hold up your two fists and you bring them together, like you're holding your two fists together in front of her, and the kids saw that, so they all did this. Obviously, they've done this before, and then they did this thing where they would lift their forefingers up, so they were touching above their fist, and then they would do the middle finger and their ring finger. They did this three times, accompanying a little verse that went, pea pod, seed pod, bean pod, poppy pod, spread as they ripen, and open with a pop. And they did this three times. Each time, I'm vibrating from head to toe. Here, the first words that I hear out of the students' mouths that I'm considering taking on was the word peapod. And finally, at that moment, it was like, thank you, God. I understand now what the dream meant. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
So how many years have you been teaching in Waldorf since then?
Well, that was back in 1999.
Okay.
I did that for a few years, and then I some relationship issues came up in my own life, and I ended up leaving Waldorf and transitioning. But as soon as I left, it's like I missed being in a classroom, and so I ended up substitute teaching at a public school right down the street from me. From there, I got a long-term position covering a woman who was out on maternity leave, and that was in special ed, and I absolutely loved it. And I thought, well, why couldn't I get a job working in special ed? A week later, there was an ad in the paper, job fair, including the special education district, looking for positions. We're looking to hire people for positions in special ed. And I went, and my sweet spot is elementary age. And the woman, she said, well, I can give you a job right now. I have an opening that you could fill right now, but it's in high school. She said, I see here on your application that you're looking for something in elementary. And then she waited a beat. She said, well, let me put it this way, Jeff. These are little kids in teenage bodies. And I'm like, oh, you got me. So I took the job, and I loved it. And after that first year, they said, well, you seem to have a good fit for this. We're looking to hire some people to run a summer school program with us for preschoolers. So I said, sure, I'll do it. So here I am in this preschool, another teacher, another assistant. And it was there that I first met a child on the autism spectrum. And I was captivated and fascinated by this little boy and realized that he came in every day and he left every day without interacting with any of us. And I came to learn later on that that was pretty typical for him and for some others on the spectrum. They have this very specific routine. And one day I was cleaning up a shelf full of games and toys and puzzles, and I saw a bottle of bubbles up on the shelf. And my immediate reaction was, I want to blow a bubble. And then as I'm reaching up, I felt extreme embarrassment. Here I was, a grown man, about to blow bubbles. And then I decided, well, I'm still going to do it, but I don't want anybody to see me do it. So I grabbed it down, I turned away from the class, I opened the bottle, pulled the wand out, and I just blew a bubble or two for my own enjoyment. So I'm smiling, I'm having this little moment when the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I turned around to find this little boy. He had broken his routine to come over to see what I was doing with the bubbles. And I look up, and here's the other teacher watching this from her desk across the room, miming the words, "Oh my God." And I mimed back, "What do I do?" And she shrugged her shoulders. She said, "I don't know." So I just simply blew a bubble after a bubble after a bubble for this little boy, grateful for that moment. And afterward, all I could wonder was, what else could I have done with those bubbles to lengthen the period of time that he allowed me into his world like that? And answering that question has turned into a full-time calling.
So now we see, everybody, bubbles have everything to do with everything that we've been talking about. Can you, so with the role that they've been playing in your life, can you articulate, can you explain the appeal of bubbles? Or is that just beyond human comprehension?
No, I think that is. Yeah. Well, one, like that boy in particular, I've learned that kids on the spectrum are drawn to bubbles naturally. I think kids in general are, even adults, because there's something very ephemeral and beautiful. There are these shining, floating, kind of magical things, right? And they don't last long. If you touch it, boom, they're gone. So they're already kind of magical. And I think that's part of the appeal. So when I'm doing my show, I always start off by saying, who's ever played with bubbles, no matter how long ago? That's a little hook for the adults in the audience. Because everybody can relate to having played with bubbles at some point or another. So that's kind of my in, right? I'm using something that everyone has had some sort of experience with, but then I take it to a new level. I start doing these incredible things. And I love what you were saying about improbable probabilities. The theme of my whole show is anything is possible. And so in order to prove that that's true during the course of my show, the running gag is I keep talking about my dream, which is to make a square bubble. So periodically through the show, I try some new way of making a square bubble. And of course, it all fails. I'm intentionally failing in order to model lessons about persistence and following your dream and think outside the box and never giving up, learning from your mistakes, etc. But I do, by the end of the show, I have made a square bubble, a bubble cube. And it's the grown-ups that come up and said, "I thought you were pulling my leg. I didn't know you were actually going to do it." And so what's happening is people that have watched the show, they enter a state of wonder. And to me, when I'm in a state of wonder, anything is truly possible. I'm wide open when I'm in that state of wonder. I think I'm more wide open than at any time in my life. So the things that I do, the things that I say, using bubbles, it's a beautiful medium. It's something highly visual and magical to focus people's attention and help send them into that childlike state of wonder. And then I'm layering in underneath all these messages about following your dream and having persistence and not letting mistakes stop you. Laugh off those mistakes. Just keep going. So it's full of humor, full of magic, full of bubble tricks, and just these beautiful, positive messages.
And let's rewind just a tiny bit. So sure. How did you get from, wow, this child who has a strict routine is doing something different, to, I want to give shows to adults? How did you make that leap?
That's a whole other beautiful story. I'll condense it down. I started experimenting with bubbles after that experience with the boy. I remember seeing a guy years ago, like on the Tonight Show and Letterman, doing stuff back in the 80s. His name is Tom Noddy. I now consider him my bubble godfather and mentor. And he was instrumental in teaching me some things to do at the beginning when I told him, I want to figure out a way to use bubbles with kids with special needs. And another gentleman named Sterling Johnson was also very instrumental and coached me with a lot of the stuff. And I started playing around with bubbles. I have a background in magic and juggling and storytelling and puppetry. So bubbles just seemed like a natural thing. Every time we did any kind of party at school, like a Halloween party or Christmas party, I would volunteer to do a magic trick or tell a story. And every time I would kind of demonstrate whatever new bubble thing that I was working on. And I just started putting together this show, and kids would come up after the party and say, do you do shows? Like, will you come to my birthday party and stuff like that? So it started to grow that way. And then the school year started again, and I'm still doing this stuff. And school started in August, and by October, I'd used up all my vacation, all my sick days, all my paid off days, basically I had no time left because I was going out and doing these bubble shows for other schools, other events. And my supervisor, a woman I rarely ever saw, came in one day specifically to talk to me, and she said, "You have no more time that you can take off from your job. You know that these kids need a steady presence in the classroom. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay? Are you going to do this bubble thing?" And I felt like on the spot, because I really didn't have an answer at that point. And bless her heart, she said, "For what it's worth, some people search their whole life and never figure out what they truly want to do. I think you found something here." And so that was the final little nudge that I needed, along with a teacher friend of mine that I was teaching with. I took the kids to a school assembly. That was part of my job, sit with them, watch these school assemblies. And I'm watching this magician, and he is also now a friend. He was saying all these funny things and encouraging and inspiring the kids, and he told stories and did magic. And I'm thinking to myself, I do those things. I say those things. And right as I'm thinking this, my teacher leans over and she nudges me in the shoulder. She goes, "That's what you need to be doing." So, you hear this kind of encouragement from different sources. It's like, I start to listen to it. And so I did. I gave 2 weeks notice, and I left my full-time job teaching with benefits and health care, all the security you could ask for, in order to go out and try to make a living playing with bubbles. And it's now been 16 years that I've made a full-time living doing bubble wonders.
And there's proof, everyone. Anything is possible.
It is. I joke about that right in the show. I'm performing, and I make some joke about something. I do a trick. Basically, we're all laughing. It's already in that feel-good vibe. And then I stop, and I say, "Can you tell I love my job? Like, does that show?" And, of course, they all say, "Yeah, yeah." And I said, "Can you believe this is really my job?" And that's where it kind of, I don't know, maybe you do this as a part-time thing. I said, no, just to be true, anything is possible, and I couldn't be teaching that. I couldn't be sharing that unless I knew that to be true. I said, this is the way that I've made a living for 16 years. I'm telling you, anything is possible.
And you, this developed into more than doing kids' parties. Mm-hmm. You developed this into presentations for adults and corporations, which is like the mind blowing thing right there. Now we're within like 2.5 minutes of a break, so just know I'm going to be interrupting you momentarily. Sure. But is there a series of coincidences laden story as to how you got in the door with big corporations?
Yeah. Well, I mean, every time I would do a presentation, people come up. I mean, I really feel like this is my calling. This is my purpose with a capital P, Kathy. And I have never felt more alive in any area of my life as I do when I'm in front of an audience. I really feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It feels like a ministry of sorts, if you want to use that term. This
The bubble minister. I love it.
It is. That's what it feels like. Well, that's the thing. Going back to my name, you know, you said a bubble magician. I joke about that at the beginning of the show. I said, oh, yeah, but my real name is Jeff. Nobody calls me Jeff. Everybody calls me Bubble Man or Mr. Bubbles. One kid called me Bubble One Kenobi. But my favorite name was given to me by three kids. They came up after the show and they bowed and said, we're going to call you the Bubble Master. And they were dead serious. So I know this stuff is landing. And it's not just landing for kids. Grown-ups come up after the show, and we get into some of the most deep philosophical, spiritual, metaphysical conversations I've ever had in my life, because I've stirred something up in people. And those who are brave enough to come and talk about it, we have these wonderful conversations and wonderful connections. So very often, somebody say, well, do you do parties for grown-ups? And I said, yes, I had never done it, but I just said yes. I kept following. I figured if they enjoyed it, other people would enjoy it too. And that has led to some corporate work too, if you can talk about that after the break, if you like.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so why don't we, since you're actually taking a breath here, let's go ahead and have our second break. Everybody hang on. You got to hear more about making your living with bubbles.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
How would you like navigational tools you can use on your own? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, and click the Shop tab. There you'll find lots of talks and guides explaining the big influences at work now, like Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus. You'll also find a variety of guided visualizations for relaxing, clearing your energy, or getting to know planetary archetypes. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you,
and you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We are talking to bubble master and professional bubble blower, Jeff Akins, who right before the break was talking about how doing bubble magic shows for kids gradually led to adults being interested in having shows as well. How did Peapod lure you into the doors of corporate America? Have you done one for Peapod, by the way? That would be hysterical.
No,
if you end up-
no. Like, believe me. Well, the company is, since the company no longer exists. I think there's so many other companies like that, and they went under a while back. But I had thought about reaching out to them and saying, I'd love to come and do a keynote for you and wait till you learn how this all began. I thought that would blow them away, but I never got a chance to do it. It started with doing keynote addresses at education conferences. Those were like my first experiences. Librarians saw the show. They told their library directors. I was hired to do the keynote for a library directors conference, a special education conference. And then one time I was performing at this place called Dream Bank up in Madison, Wisconsin. their whole they come from an insurance company put this together, and basically it's to help entrepreneurs. So there's classes and workshops on how to start a business and how you write a business plan and every aspect, social media, all that stuff. And they had hired me to come and do some family day events, and I was outside in between performances just blowing bubbles and waving people in to get them to come in for the second show. And this woman stopped and she said, what is this? And I said, I'm getting ready to do the Bubble Wonder show. And she said, what is it? She goes, I can't stay. I'm late for an appointment, but this sounds really cool. What do you do? And I said, well, I blow bubbles and I connect them together and I teach kids that anything is possible. And I try to make a square bubble. And her eyes just lit up. She goes, do you do this for corporate? And I said, yes. Of course, I have at that point, but I just keep saying yes. Yes, I do. Because I work for Harley Davidson, and I need something to really captivate their attention at this big conference we're going to do. I'm like, well, let's talk. She took a card. They were just launching some new employee system. It's like a quality control thing. I can't remember the details of it. But I basically wrote up a plan where I said they had six there were six parts of this new program they're teaching the employees. I said, well, I make a caterpillar. I can make six bubbles, and I could talk about each one of these bubbles being one aspect of that process, and then I can convert those six into a mass of bubbles, because that's how I do the square bubble. It's six bubbles, a bubble on top, bottom, and the front and back, and then two on the side. When I blow into the middle, it forms a perfect cube. It's pure physics. I said that would show that anything is possible, and it would kind of sell your message. And she was just glowing. So Harley Davidson was my first corporate client, and then it just kind of spread from there. I was contacted by, let's see, who was first? Google. Google had me first, Google Chicago. And then just a couple of years ago, Facebook in Chicago also contacted me and said, yeah, we saw your videos and all this stuff. We'd love to have you come and talk to our employees and their families. And so it's just kind of, I've never reached out looking for work. Work has just come to me, and I just keep saying yes.
I think there's a message there for everyone. Keep saying yes. Mm-hmm. So the magic of bubbles is just kind of taking you on your life path, and it's ephemeral, and they do break almost. You can kind of tell. I mean, I discovered a long, long time ago that if you watch when the bubble goes from having a little bit of a color tint to starting to go mm-hmm. transparent, that's when it's getting thinner and thinner, and it's going to pop.
Yeah.
That's my one bit of bubble knowledge here, besides the fact that they're fun to blow. I don't even know what to say. So have you had unexpected reactions or responses at some of these corporate events?
Not so much. Well, yeah, corporate events too. Again, like most adults don't think that I'm really going to make a square bubble. I keep talking about it, keep trying to do it. They just think I'm pulling a leg. That's just part of a setup. So a lot of them are blown away. But again, it's the more metaphysical, spiritual aspects of what I'm sharing that really resonates with people. So I've heard from people months later saying, I now have a new job because I took to heart what you were saying about anything being possible. And I left a job that I didn't love, and I'm doing stuff that I love. One woman came up to me after a show with this little 2-3-year-old in a wagon. This was an outdoor event. And she said, I wanted you to meet him. This is Charlie. I was told after my last child I would never have a baby again because of the complications and all these things. And I happened to come and see your show shortly after that because I was just crestfallen at the thought. And you just kept saying over and over again, anything is possible, anything is possible. And that became my mantra. My family and I, we just said it over and over and over again. Even though all the doctors said, no, this will never happen, I want you to meet him. He's here because I believe your message.
There's a bubble baby.
There's a bubble baby. Yeah. There's many experiences like that where people come up and I hear something about how that message landed either with them or their children. I love it because I'll get calls or emails or messages on Facebook from parents saying, oh my God, something happened the other day and my child said, Mom, remember what the bubble man said? Anything is possible. So like this message is reverberating, it's coming back out. The kids are sharing it and reminding their parents, which I think is beautiful.
So when are you going to get your HBO special for this? I mean,
oh, believe me, I've thought about that. That could be a really cool show. You know,
oh, yeah.
Town do, every episode could be a different town, different show. My Facebook, that's kind of like my running record of all these amazing experiences that happen and the way that I've been touched by the audience and how the audience has been touched by me. Because these last couple of years, they've been really hard. It's really knocked me out of my state of perpetual optimism. What I realized after not being able to perform for 2 years, 2.5 years because of COVID, Kathy, I realized how much I needed to be saying things because I need to hear them too.
Mm-hmm.
And so things were pretty dark and heavy for a while, and it feels like astrologically some kind of tide is turning. So again, I don't know what's coming. I know this is some serious groundbreaking, or I have Saturn return happening, all this stuff. So I know and I trust with a capital T that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And I keep saying in my meditation now, my name is Jeff. I'm creatively expressing myself from the heart using my unique talents and God-given gifts and joyful service to others. I'm doing that with Bubble Wonders. Show me if there's any other ways that I can deepen this and take it, you know, to a larger audience or serve in new ways. And just staying open to what that next step will be, knowing that it's all that I'm going through, all that we're all going through is preparing us for that next level, that next state of development that we're going into. I truly believe that.
That's a wonderful affirmation / mantra to invite this in. That's I'm extraordinarily impressed. One thing that crossed my mind before you got into the deep and heavy stuff here is when you, the level of interaction that you have historically done in your shows with people mm-hmm. in the audience, do you have people in, are you engaging with them directly? Are you one of the bubble magicians who, for example, has someone stand in a circle and you encase them completely in a bubble?
I do. I'll tell you about one of my favorite aspects of that is two stories. One, yes, I do. I put kids inside a bubble, and I'm always learning. I'm always trying to make the show better, make it run smoother. So I've learned over the years there's certain things that I have to change how I say them because the kids react like kids, and that's not quite the reaction I was looking for. So I would do this thing where I would get the kid up inside this pan, that I would put a bubble around them, and I would say, now I'm going to put you in a bubble. And I had more than once a child look at me and shake their head scared, like, no, I don't want to do this. I'd have to send them back to the audience. I felt bad because here now I felt like they were leaving thinking they failed somehow. Now every kid knows I need another helper. And so I had to work this out in my mind, in my head, my heart. How could I do this in a better way? So I came up with a solution, and I got to test it. And sure enough, a couple of shows later, the little girl, her name is Sky, I remember this today, I said, and now I'm going to put you inside a bubble. And she looked at me and she shook her head no. I said, okay, here's my chance to work out and see if this is going to work. And so I asked her, will you step outside and stand right here next to me? And then I look for another volunteer, and I chose some boy from the other side of the room, and she whispers to me, that's my brother. Of course, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he steps up. I put him inside a bubble, and I praise him, and the crowd goes crazy. And then he sits back down again. I take a knee, and I turn to Sky, and I said, Sky, would you like to be inside a bubble now? And she shook her head, and she stepped right in. And I had to take a beat, and I looked out the audience, and I said,
and you said, oh, what a place to go dead. What a place to go dead. Oh. Okay. He'll be back here in a second. Hang on a second, everyone. This is obviously we're waiting with suspense for the end of the bubble story. Are you back yet, Jeff?
Okay.
Holding on.
I'm back.
All right. Great. Okay. So this little girl didn't want to get in the bubble, and then she sees her brother do it, and then...
Oh, is that where it got cut off?
That's where it got cut off. And then what does she do?
Oh, okay. And then I take a knee, and I turn to her, and I say, Sky, would you like to be inside a bubble now? And she smiled, and she stepped right in. I put her inside a bubble, And I stood up and I had an arm on her shoulder and I said, I'm so proud of you. And I turned to the audience and from the heart, I was choked up with emotion. I said, these are the moments that I live for. When a child will step outside their comfort zone like this, please give this brave, brave girl a big round of applause. So this child went back to her seat, you know, feeling completely empowered. Mm-hmm. And it's moments like that. Again, I had a client give me the highest praise when she said, this is not just a show. Like, you're doing something on a much deeper level here. You're actually touching lives. This is not just entertainment. And so I realized, this, again, the way that I react with bubbles, the way that you love bubbles, I'm thinking there's got to be other adults. So I got to a point where I would put one child inside a bubble, then I'd get two littler kids up, and I would do a rainbow. I lift it up over one and bring it down in an arc over the other one. That's a big hit. Send those kids back, and then I say, oh, wait a second, there's a disturbance in the bubble force. Somewhere in this room, there's a grown-up, an adult that was just thinking inside, oh, I wish I could be in a bubble. And invariably, there's somebody in the audience that laughs, right? And so I actually get a grown-up to come up and be inside a bubble. So I make, you know, these references to it's never too late to have a happy childhood, and what a great model they are for their own children and these other children, that you can have fun no matter how old you are. You can play with bubbles, you know, to access that inner child again. And even talking about asking the audience, when I put this woman or this man inside a bubble, I want you to give them a big round of applause, because this is so incredibly brave for a grown-up to come in front of complete strangers and play like this. And so they do. They give them a big round of applause. And I talk about how this is an example of stepping out of your comfort zone. I said, that's where the magic begins. You know, one step out of our comfort zone, that's where the magic begins. So you have to, when you're following a dream, whether it's to make a square bubble or reinventing your life or finding that wonderful relationship that meets you where you are in this moment in your life, anything is possible, but you have to do something different. You have to take action on that dream. You have to step out of your comfort zone.
A perfect statement of today's Mars-Uranus North Node triple conjunction. Just have to throw in the astrology. Do you interact with people in the corporate meetings too? When you do a presentation?
Well, I mean, when I do corporate, when I do keynotes, it's basically the same show, but I'm talking about things in a different way. When it's education, I talk about why I do the things I do and how they can use these things in and out of the classroom for themselves and for their students, how to empower students, like that moment with the girl stepping out of her comfort zone because I approached it in a different way and I didn't send her back right away. In corporate, I'll have people that come up and ask after the show, but it's very seldom about corporate things. It's touching them on a personal level, and they want to connect on that level. They want to talk about their dream or their, you know, their spiritual life or whatever it is that's touching them. But it's never been about the business that they're in.
Well, of course not. But so if some corporation were to bring you up, would you actually be putting various employees in bubbles on stage?
Oh yes, I always do that. I always do that for sure. Yep.
One other thing before we wrap up here. I was astonished to see on your website that there is an international organization of bubble magicians. It's an organization?
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true. It's international. So, yeah, a few years ago, some of these people that are really active in performing with bubbles said we should organize. And so when that came across my radar, I joined instantly. It was an invitation to come. We do get together almost every year and have conferences, and so I've actually been able to meet some of these other performers from around the world. The second time that I attended, I actually got to perform. So I performed and explained at a little breakout session about why I do what I do and how I do it. Because a lot of times it seems to be like there's different groups. Some bubblers, they do it as a science show. This works because science says that bubbles are always spheres, et cetera, et cetera. Some people do it strictly to music. As far as I know, I'm the only inspirational entertainer. I'm using the bubbles as a way to teach some new things and to empower people.
And I have been so happy that you've been talking with me for this last hour. Do you have like a final message, or is it the same thing you've been getting across for the last hour? Just follow your dream and figure it out. No, I'm honestly, do you have a final wrap up that you'd like to leave people with really quick?
Well, what comes to my mind again is that idea of trust. I heard somebody use the term radical acceptance of what is. I've been resisting certain things for a couple of years now, and I realize, let it go. Life is trying to bring me to that next place. So I call it trust with a capital T, knowing that at the ultimate level as a spiritual being, I've drawn all these things to myself in order to learn certain lessons and to grow spiritually and to have these amazing adventures. And so I'm learning to trust with a capital T, moving forward, knowing that anything is possible.
That was beautiful. Can you tell us again, tell us what your website is where people can find you?
Sure. The website is Bubble Wonders. That's the name of the show, bubblewonders.com, and Bubble Wonders on Facebook. Those are usually the best ways to reach me. And on Facebook, I love it. Like I said, I keep a running log of all these different stories, things that people have said after the show, different experiences have happened. And that will be just as touching as some of the stories that I've shared today.
Thank you so much. Everyone, have a great month. You can find me at empowermentunlimited.net and also at Om Times. Talk to you again soon.